Tammuz, Tuesday the 7th of July, Rabbi Pinchas Jung, the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. The Nitzchias, the eternity of Klal Yisrael.
Okay, good morning everyone, and it's I guess a treat to be back again. Some of the faces I recognised instantly, some it took me a moment longer, and some I'm not quite sure yet. But 16 years, you have to forgive me, okay? But Baruch Hashem, I see that over here, Yagdil Toyra V'Yadir, not only in the States, in the UK as well, growing in all directions. There was JLE on Shavuos and Tammuz in the evening, standing room only, and various other places, Kanai Nahora, Baruch Hashem. So may it continue. So we have a topic today which is very relevant for Bein HaMtzorim, for these 3 weeks. Something that basically everybody's aware of, and I'd like to bring it to you from four different Mekoiros over the ages, and according to how much time we'll have left, we'll add some Sipurim, some interesting stories from Gedolei Yisrael, from regular people, all pointing in the same direction, and B'Soifo Shel Dovar, it's definitely always a source of Chizuk. That we know, despite the fact, as we sing at the Seder, B'chol Doir V'Doir Oimdim Oleinu L'Chaloseinu, but the last piece there is equally true. But Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyodom, and every time the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to the rescue, sometimes we have to pay a price before that happens, but Sof Kol Sof, here we are, and we are growing, and V'af Gam Zois B'Yoisom Be'eretz Oyveim, says the Pasuk in Parshat B'chukoysai, Lo Ma'astim Lo Ga'altim. And we see in our time how true that really is. Our first reference, and it might be Kedai for those who'd like to keep a record of what we're saying, is a Ramban in Parashas Hazinu, Devorim Lamed Beis. And there, B'toich Devorov, in the middle of a piece, on Umarti Af Ehem, Ashbisa Me'enesh Zichrom, I would like to share with you the Loshon of the Ramban, because the Shoinus of Rishoinim are Meduyak, are precise, and there's always more to it than meets the eye. Hashem bore Sodom v'tachtoinim. We're going back to basics, back to the tachlis of the Bria. And then Muvcha Hayitzurim, of course, is the Ben Odom, the human being. Ribbono Shel Olam created us here on this planet, and what is the purpose? Shiyakir es boiroi v'yoidu lishmoi. That even from the distance, as it were, sitting here in a very mundane physical world, we recognize Hashem Yisborach, and we acknowledge Him. People who were eating here made brochas rishoinus and brochas achroinus, a constant awareness of Metzias Hashem Yisborach. But He gave us the permission, lo ra oleheitiv. In other words, in plain language, we have bechira. We're making choices every moment, and we talk here to a group of people, Baruch Hashem, who are determined to make good choices, and they certainly very often do. But the kashachotu biritzoinam, when we made negative choices and we drifted away from the purpose of creation, and some even denied Hashem Yisborach, l'nisha rako om hazeh lishmur. Ikabim einfolk, one small nation remained on the planet who are fulfilling the tachlis of the Bria, and I needn't tell you who they are. Upirsim ben ba'osis of the mafsim ki hu elokehu elohim v'adoinu adoinu. And this refers clearly, without question, to Yetzias Mitzrayim. At that stage in our history, the Ribbono Shel Olam publicized the Emes in such a great way, in such an astounding way, that there was no need for repeat performance. I mean, we've had all sorts of experiences of Ashgocha, both privately and communally, but the main events which really have proven to the world Mitzias Hashem, that Hashem must be the Boirei Umanig L'chol Abruim, that, as the Ramban refers to over and over throughout his commentary, that took place at Yetzias Mitzrayim. And this was actually to teach everyone, to teach all of humanity and not just us, as you're aware. They have their Sheva Mitzvahs, and the basic Emunah is their duty as well. And every thinking person, if he wants to be honest with himself, would reach the conclusion that there must be a Boirei Manig L'chol Abruim, because creation doesn't make any sense otherwise. But then again, as you may have realized over the years, people have their own agenda, their own negias, And many, especially today in the Western world, will choose to deny that, but that is their problem. Here we are, the Am HaTorah, Am HaShem, and we still hold the flag up high that we know the Yesoidus of the Bria and the Soidus of the Bria. We know the foundations, we know the secrets, and we understand what life is really about. So now, the Noida Bezel Choluamin. At the time, events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah, the three major events, the definitive events of our history, they were public for the world to know. For us, Avada, to constantly remember, we just have in Shachris, and with Ma'arich in the Yin of Kriyas Yamsuf more than the other two, interestingly. One way or another, these events are public knowledge. The intelligent, educated Ben Noyach is very much aware of them. What would happen if Chas v'Sholem, Chalila v'Chalila, Im Yoshu v'Yoivat Zichra, if those Rishoim, if those Sonnies would be successful, as they use the language to wipe us off the face of the earth, Rachmuna l'Tzlam, then Yishkechu ha'amim es oisois ves ma'aso. Hashem Yisborach will very quickly be forgotten. Because those who wish to get rid of us are the ones who Dafka would rather a world with no spirituality, with no memory of Hashem Yisborach at all, with no memory of our history. And we won't be discussing the inyonim for which the Torah says leman tesaper, bosnei bincho ben bincho in Pashas Boy, first Yitzchus Mitzrayim, or the vedatim levanech levnei vanecho, refers to Matan Torah, maybe some of present company say the sheish zechiras on a regular basis. But even if not, we're constantly aware, as the Ramban writes in Sefer Mitzvahs, that of Matan Torah we aspire to have einenu, v'libeinu sham kalayomim, a constant awareness of these key events. And v'modem yaske kein yachshu k'yor koich mikoiches hamazolus v'kechovim. If we wouldn't be here to remind the world of the emes, then if these stories would come up again, people might suggest far-fetched ideas, typically, that this was something, some good mazel, because of the stars, and they would forget the real fundamental principle. And then, says the Ramban, important statement, v'netiye kavonas habriya v'odom b'teila. Again, we get the picture so clearly, Baruch Hashem. We are here. The Eibishter is here as well, but we say Hashemayim, Shemayim, Lashem, in that the Gemara says there's an understanding Hashem is Baruch in Shemayim, meaning that we can't be masik Him, we can't understand His greatness because He's infinite. And it's so easy to be living in this mundane world and to forget totally about Hashem. If that would Chas v'Sholem happen, the point of creation would be lost. The Eibishter put us here with intelligence, gave us a Torah, and therefore it's not impossible for us to find the Ribbono Shel Olam and to be absolutely clear beyond any doubt whatsoever of the facts that are the basics of our Yiddishkeit. And some of you probably know, been involved the last 5-6 years in America with an organization called Ani Mamin Foundation, and we do get around Baruch Hashem a lot. We're in Australia last year, and of course America is a huge continent, and there's so many Jewish communities, wonderful communities, and we just go back. Whatever kind of tzibur it is, ultra-modern or ultra-chsidish, makes no difference. They all enjoy going back to the yesoidus of Yiddishkeit, because parparos are great. But on the other hand, we need to constantly be aware of this modern world of ours, with the technology, the explosion of technology, we need to be aware of these few yesoidus, which are really so simple. So the Ramban is saying to us, there cannot be a bria without Klal Yisroel. It's purposeless. There's no tachlis to it. Just for baseball players and people who eat pizza, for that the Rebbe didn't make his world. Therefore it makes sense, it's logical, on the understanding that Bria Soilam obviously was for a purpose, that it is essential, the Rebbe will not want otherwise, that he maintains Klal Yisrael, he keeps us here forever. Clearly, we are the closest to Rebbe Yisrael. Remember, Rabbi said there are many who claim to believe in Hashem. I can pull out a dollar bill and show you there, in God we trust. They're discussing whether to get rid of that line or not, the Americans. Yeah, Jens Tzadik and Zen and Zay. But never mind, that's not the point. We understand as much as a human being can understand about Hashem Yisborach. There are a lot of ideas, twisted ideas, out there in the world about Hashem Yisborach, and therefore not even those who may claim to believe necessarily believe it correctly. But we have a Torah. and we learn it and we do understand. So therefore it only makes sense that we have a guarantee that we shall remain represented on earth. The thing is, of course, that we've had our own ups and downs as well. Times when we were loyal to Hashem Yisborach, and times when unfortunately we abandoned the mitzvahs, Rachmuna Litzlan. And we then naturally get ourselves into trouble. But there should be a She'eris HaPleita, that of course is of the essence. So that is a quote from Ramban, Parshas Hazinu, Devorim, Kapitel Lamed Beis. I just thought I'd connect that with an obvious Gemara, which I'm sure everybody is familiar with, and that is the Gemara about Matan Torah Shabbos, Daf Peches Omed Aleph. Because there the Gemara says that the entire Bria was hanging in suspense until the day of Matan Torah. And why? Just to cut the story short, but anyway, it's familiar. Because the Gemara says there, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Im Yisroel Mekablim HaTorah Atem Miskaimin. If the Yidden are willing to receive the Torah, and again, and then the world has a tachlis, the world has purpose, life has meaning, Atem Miskaimin. You continue to function, to exist. It's basically the same concept. And if not, if Klaus would not receive the Torah, would resist the Torah, then the world will go back to zero. Because there's absolutely no point in maintaining a world which does not fulfill a higher purpose, a higher destiny. So that's a message of the Ramban. We did it in one of the schools there in America that week, the week of Hazinu. What might not be quite as well known, perhaps, is a chinuch. Now, sefer chinuch to many of us is bread and butter, is the basic source for tamei hamitzvahs. It's very important to understand, as the chinuch says himself, kuf yud zayin, that every mitzvah there's a reason. Recently had Parshas Chukas, that's already chukim, but even there are hesberim up to a point. But most of the mitzvahs we can understand logically, and it's very, very important that we realize, keep on saying this in the schools over there, it all makes sense. Yiddishkeit is not hocus pocus. It is a Yiddishkeit that we can learn, digest, understand, and see the rationale. So the Chinuch says here, there's a remez. Interesting that he uses the word remez. Usually not. There's a remez here when we come to the mitzvah of Gid HaNoshe, Parshas Vayishlach. So he says that we, Sheyizbu Tzoros Rabbis Begolis, we've had a rough time in Golis, and everybody's read one page of Jewish history is aware of it. Miyatu Amin, Miyat B'nai Esav, today it's B'nai Yishmol largely. But you betuchem shelo yoivdu, misfazichet, we're for sure, we're guaranteed, we'll never perish. Lo'oilam yamad zara mashmam. We will always remain. Again, the Eden after the war in the DP camps, they themselves called themselves She'iris HaPleita. We are the survivors. And Rabbi Yisai Ba'emes, if we look into our own ancestry, we're all survivors. So v'yovulem goyel v'yigolim miyatso, and that we will always have a geula on the way, on the journey, as we await the geula shelema. We've had our ups and downs, as said, and there's always been a goyel to redeem us from our tzoros. U'bezochem tomid inyan zeh al yad mitzvah shetir lezikoroin. So this mitzvah, because it's to do with the story of the Sar shel Esav threatening Yaakov and trying to undermine him, and why Rabbi Yisrael Rebbe Chonon Wasserman Zatzal brings B'Shem Lechov Yitzchayim his Rebbe Zatzal, that because Yaakov stood for Torah, and the Sar shel Esav knows that is a death blow to him. He didn't come today more and more to learn Torah, so this is our koyach, and therefore this mitzvah more than another, says the chinuch, not typical style of the chinuch, but this mitzvah is a remez, Yamdu bemunosam our emunah is forever, ubitzidkosam na tzidkos v'al mizendach mekayim de mitzvahs la'olam. And that is permanent. And as we learned in Ramban, there can be no world without it. We come to our third source, and I hope there'll be time, there should be time, yes, for a few very interesting stories. But the third source is a classic piece of Rabbi Yaakov Emden Zatzal in his Siddur. Now, although the Hakdoma to the Siddur Beis Yaakov is very lengthy, not the type of thing that most people would learn through, but this passage happens to be very well known. It was once at the dinner for our school in America, we had a well-known Rosh Yeshiva of Elie Be'er Wachtfeigel Schlita, and he used it as his theme, and he quoted it, and I'd like to share it with you as well. Some of you may be familiar already. So again, we'll quote some of it with the Loshen, because there's nothing like the Loshonis, even of the Achroinim, to get the full value and the full clarity. It means somebody who pays attention in some detail to our past, to our story, to our journey. Mamudenu, our standing ba'olam in this world, anachnu ha'uma ha'goylo se pezura. It's based on Psukim and Midrashim. We are the nation who's been goylo ach ha'goylo, we say in the Slichas, and we've been from continent to continent, from country to country. Ach ha'kol mashu v'aleinu me'atzoros v'achamuros alofim me'ashonim. Almost 2,000 years, and look what we've been through, it's hardly believable. And this time of the year, we do think about it. There's no nation persecuted as much as we have been. He says then later, I skip a bit. Where are all those mighty nations who had the power physically, militarily, to wipe us off the place of the earth? Yes, they could have done it in theory. But the Rebbeinu Shem said, no, where are they? Yes, they write in the dust heap of history. That's where they are. You can read about them. They're hardly there. Botul Sivram, their hope is gone. So Atzilam, whoever they relied on, has turned away. The Onu and we Dafke who come regularly to learn Torah. Hadaveikim Bashem, we're connected, we're close to the Eibishter. Kulonu Chayim, we're alive. Look at the growth in Eretz Yisrael, the growth in America, the growth in Europe, and beyond. We saw it in Australia as well. Nifkad mimenu b'chol toikev arichas. Go and travel wherever you wish on the planet. Attend Kriyas HaTorah. Ask to look at the Sefer Torah, the Zel Bezach, the same thing universally, exactly the same. And you'll check out a Medrash Rabbah, or a Gemara, Shas, or Mishnah, whatever you choose, and you will see everything is there exactly as was. Now is not the time to discuss Torah Shebaal Peh. We have a whole detailed course on Torah Shebaal Peh and how it survived the 1500 years before it was committed to writing. Lamasa, we have the entire Torah. We look now at the back of the room here, the back of the shul, and all the Sefer Kodesh, and there as well, exactly what was given to us. Kol HaTorah Metzuyo Ato Biyodeinu. And when we do this and we talk about the Afgam Zois, B'yoysim Beretz Oyveyan, always ask the kids, so tell me, what about our Mesoira? What about our culture? It's a miracle of miracles. That's also totally intact and growing today. Kanayin Ahura, Baruch Hashem. Says the Rabbi Yankov Emnin, it's Hakdome here, Chei Nafshi. It's like a Shavua. When I think about these Nefloas, Godlu Etzli Yoysim Mikol Nisim, Rabbi Yaakov Emnin had the courage to say that he really feels sincerely that the miracle of our survival is a more impressive miracle than the whole series of Nisim that we experienced that year 2448, including Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Matan Torah. And he lived way, way before World War II. The longer the golus is, misames hanes yoise. That ness is highlighted even more. Incredible words, powerful words. But everybody sitting here can endorse the emes of what he says. Well, we have a few minutes left for some great stories. There is a doctor called Moshe Rothschild. Some of you might know him. I heard a story which involved him, and when I met him a few years ago, I asked him to confirm for me the details of the story. And here's the story, the way that I got it from him. He was very close to the Panovizhurov Zatzal. One occasion, the Panovizhurov wanted to go to Rome, out of all places, to collect money for his many moisters, for Bnei Brak, for Panovizh Yeshiva, Botayovois. So Dr. Rothschild got there in advance, was in the hotel, and the Rov tells him he's landed, he's arrived, and now if you don't mind to come out with the car, please. But he said, but Dr. Rothschild, I do need to go somewhere on the way from the airport to the hotel. Dr. Rothschild says, but Rebbe, you know, you must be exhausted from the journey. He wasn't a young man then. And why not come to the hotel first and relax and have a hot drink? And then we'll go out. I'm here to help you. I'm here to accompany you. You're my Rebbe. So please, I will do whatever you want, but I would like to see you comfortable and rested first. Panovizhurov said, no, it's very important, I must make that call first. Okay, so Dr. Rothschild goes to the airport, and they meet up, and I'm sure embrace, as Panovizhurov, those who remember, as he'd always do with his incredible Avos Yisroel, one of a kind, and they meet there. So, Vidaf de Rov Gain, where does the Rov want to go? You know the answer, you wouldn't believe the answer. The Arch of Titus. What, to take money out of stone? No. He wanted to go there for one moment. And I can't imitate Litvisha Yiddish the way one should, because unfortunately I'm corrupt, I speak the more Polish type of Yiddish. So I don't think I can do the real thing here for you. But basically what he says, Titus, Titus, wie bist die? Ich bin du. And he laughed. In other words, Titus, the great and mighty Titus, who reckoned he can conquer the world, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, where are you? Dust heap of history. Little me, who you reckon you'd wipe off the face of the earth, I'm here, and you wouldn't believe what I'm coming here for. I have to roam out of all places because I've got a melucha of Torah and Yiddishkeit in Eretz Yisrael. He just wanted to be mechazik himself, that however difficult things may be, however tough it might be to take the money from the people, but just to be mechazik himself, that this is our story, Nitzchias Am Yisrael. And that I heard directly from Rav Moshe Rothschild, who was there, and that's the story he told us. So that's one story. You have to keep count of the stories. There were four Mari Mekoymus we had, and let's see how many stories we can get out. I've got quite a few, but I have to watch the clock. You'll tell me if we have to end Yekish or Chsidish. I don't know. I'm a visitor. Okay. Which way? We'll discuss that later. So, very recently, the Klausenberg Rebbe from Netanya, who's today definitely one of the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael, visited America, and I was zoicha to be twice in his company, which is always inspiring. And they printed one or two things, which included a story from his father, Zitzal, Alter Klausenberg Rebbe, who many of you may remember, who really was a one-of-a-kind Godel, and did so much amazing work after the war. We could spend till 11 o'clock discussing that. But now let's keep to our point. At the beginning of the war, World War II, he had some condition, he wasn't feeling quite right, and he went to a doctor. This doctor was not anti-Semitic, he was a Romanian, but he was favorably disposed towards our people. And the doctor realized that this patient is no regular customer, that he's a highly intelligent individual. Being the beginning of the war, he said, Rabbi, I want to ask you a question. Tell me, what do you reckon, what is your prognosis for your own people? You're a Jewish. You can see what's happening. The Germans are gathering strength, and the clouds are gathering as well. It looks very grim, very bleak for us. So the Rebbe thought a moment or two, and he says to him that eventually Hitler's footsteps will disappear from the face of the earth, our people shall survive. He says, Rabbi, I know you're a chacham, but I didn't know that you're a novi. So he said, no, I'm not a novi. Then how do you know? So a Yid answers with a question. He said to the doctor, tell me something, do you reckon that tomorrow morning the sun will rise? The doctor says, yes. Are you sure? Are you confident? Yes. How do you know that? Are you a prophet? So he said, because every single day of my life, and my father and grandfather told me the same story, this has been the way, this has been the pattern, without fail. Therefore I can assume safely it shall continue this way. Said the Rebbe, that's exactly what I said to you. Always, b'chol doyer v'doyer, we said, oim demoleinu l'chal oiseinu. And this was a very frightening one, 70 years ago. V'akush baruch hu matzileinu miyodam. So he said the following, rather frightening words. He said to the doctor, that there will be a she'eres ha'pleito in our language, that is guaranteed. And you'll know the Ramban and the others for him much better than we do. But if you ask me about myself personally, I don't know. That I cannot answer you. And Lamasa, I think everybody knows the story, he lost his Rebbetzin and 11 children, Le'alechem, but he carried on after the war to rebuild, and that was amazing. And the results, we actually experienced the results to some degree very recently at that Mlava Malka, when they were telling us about the motors they built up, both in Eretz HaKodesh and beyond. So that's another story to highlight Nitzchis Am Yisrael, first Ponevizhirov, Klausenberg Rebbe. But there are all sorts of stories, and they don't have to only revolve around Gedolei Yisroel. There's one story here of an advertising executive who used to pay for an advert, which is very expensive, in the New York Times, and it would say at the bottom of the page the time of Hadlokas Neiros for Erev Shabbos. Because it says, Ayidish Ashtut. And people should have the information and should know, the women should know, those women don't come from such a haimish family who have a luach everywhere and who are with the zmanim, they should know when to light their candles on Erev Shabbos, summer and winter. So they would always contact this Mr. Gross and ask him to what time is going to be Hadlokas Neiros, that Shabbos, what time is the zman. And this kept going during the 1990s, and there came a point, I believe, where there weren't the funds anymore. It was very expensive. I think it was $1,800 a week. Bekitsa, for the turn of the century, they produced, the New York Times apparently, we weren't there yet, they produced an edition. One was reproducing January the 1st, 1900, then was the current issue for January the 1st, 2000, and a projected future event for January the 1st, 2100. So the editor said this, look, all that we're writing about January the 1st, 2100, what do we know? It's a joke, it's a game, it's guesswork, their vice. But one thing we do know for sure, in the year 2100, the Jewish women will be lighting Shabbos candles. Goy said it. That's guaranteed. The Alan Rezachim, mi yodeya. Oh, but this is for sure, this is going to happen. And therefore they put in as man, I don't know quite how they worked it out, but they did. But I suppose you want to go to this green story. So it's interesting. You all know where I davened for 40 years and later my Rebbe's not here. I saw him just a week before, he was this talik. Very hard that, but still we have so much that we learned from him over many, many years. So I kept always the little kontrasim that were given out for a hachnosa sefer Torah in the shul. And I recently, this before he was nifter, I looked at one was given by Yid who did not live too far from here, Teitelbaum, yeah, was in Western Avenue around there, because we have a son in Arad, the Geruch Hussid, and he did tremendous, wonderful work for Arad, the yeshiva there, and other moistures, which he built, I believe, single-handedly. So he also donated a Sefer Torah to the Bes Medrash of Rabbi Chanan Zatzal, and on that occasion, of course, the Ruv spoke, and he also spoke, and he told the story. And what was the story? He said that his grandfather was davening in a Gerishtibel, Poland Farm Krieg, and Poland before the war, and the Rishoyim were coming along, and they told them that they have to close the Bes Medrash, they have to close the Shtibel, and therefore they tried, if they possibly could, to save the Sforim, and B'miyuchad the Sifrei Torah, and therefore he went in, his grandfather went in, I think at that time the Bes Medrash could have been possibly already on fire, and he saved the Sefer Torah. And he asked, he said that they moved then away to some slightly safer place. And I believe the story continues like this. He said, but I know that I'm not going to last very long anymore. And I would like that when you bury me with that safer Torah. Because he realized that there's not a lot of hope and not a future. And what Rabbi Chodovid said at that occasion of the new safer Torah he presented to Beis Medrash Beis Shmuel was, this is an example of Oisius Parchois Ugevilim Nisrofim. This Sefer Torah really is a replacement. It's exactly the same os per os the Sefer Torah Mazeda had in the Beskerish Dibel there. I've forgotten the name of the shtetl. It wasn't in Varsha or Lodz, one of the big cities. And the Emes, he would have loved to continue, but he could not. But the tradition of Torah carries on. So this Sefer Torah is really the same Sefer Torah, the Gevilim Nisrofim, but the Oisius are here. All the Oisius, and that was such a meaningful little message that he must have been. I can't remember hearing it, but I definitely read it and felt that this was a great one, which shows us the Nitzchis, not only of our people, but Torah as well. Now, Boisa, can I steal a few minutes and give you a Gateshead story? A lot of you learnt in Gateshead, and this is an amazing story coming from up north. I was also there for a while. Does anybody here remember, I guess you do because I do, the old Bes Medrash in the gated yeshiva, before this one, that means they mamash had to sit, when you had a Gemara like this, so if we were doing Omed Aleph, then my friend's Gemara would be resting on my Omed base. It was so, Yoshvim Tzfufim, okay? So there was a story of an American journalist who was totally secular. He's coming to visit Wall's End. What's Wall's End? A great tourist attraction, Hadrian's Wall, it's in ruins, and there it lies, and he wants to study it, and maybe write a paper about it, and he's photographing and recording the history, and suddenly this Yid remembers, he's got Yotzat that day, and where can I get a minion? It's not dark, and I wondered if Mincha somewhere with a minion, at least say Kaddish. So they told him, Gates said, it's 10 miles, if you get onto your car now, you can make it, and you can daven Mincha Betzibah. So he comes to what they describe as the little house that was gated yeshiva in those days, not the spacious Bes Medrash, which I'm sure is already bursting at its seams. I'm sorry? That was the old one. Well done, Shkoyach. And so he sees the boys there, they're learning. And what are they discussing? They're discussing a Mishnah with Rabbi Kiva in it. This is Hadrian's Wall he came to see. What did Hadrian do to Rabbi Kiva? Hadrian wanted to destroy Rabbi Kiva. He should never be remembered. Yeah? They're coming now to a group of teenage boys in relatively modern day northeast England. Hadrian is again in the dust heap of history. This person came to study Hadrian's Wall, which is as dead can be, and uninteresting and boring, in Selebzach Rebbe Kiva, in the yeshiva, they're discussing and debating what Rebbe Kiva meant, young people. And he said, this was the purpose of my travel. The purpose of my coming is 2,000 years almost after Hadrian's death. So what's left? A pile of rubble? A wall in ruins, and Rebbe Kiva leaped, and all of us, we learn Rebbe Kiva, we've done the same thing ourselves in the past, and discussing this is the eternity once again, Rabbi Yisai, not only of Klal Yisroel, but the eternity of the Torah, Skait Yad B'Yad. And this is our mission quite plainly, especially in Bein HaMetzorim, because we recall much destruction, together with it we have a chizik and we marvel at the survival aleph of Klal Yisroel and base of the Torah Kiloi Sishokar Mi Pizaroi, which is Rosh HaTevis, Sofer Tevis, sorry, Yochoi, because Rav Shimon Yochoi always would say, Chas V'Sholem, don't worry, Loi Tishtachach Torah Mi Yisroel. And we, when we see these programs for learning and our Botzitz HaTorah all over the globe, to us that is a chiyus, and the chizik, the Rebbe should help us, it all be successful. Go mechayil al chayil, we should be zoich at these days, should be nishapach, the soson, the simcha, the shul, the chom, amen.
Amen.